Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Friday, November 27th. It is the day after Thanksgiving Day. We still have a lot to give thanks unto God for. So before I go to the message today, I'm going to play a song here that is a Thanksgiving song. This is the Larry Raines family singing a song entitled Thanks to Calvary. All right, I trust that was a blessing to you. And on yesterday's program, we began a new sermon, and we're going to continue that today and then carry that over until Monday and complete this message, Lord willing, on Monday. Looking in Matthew chapter number 5, and we're down in verses number 21 through 26 now in our reading of our text. We're in the Sermon on the Mount study series, and we hope that it is a blessing to you. And we're dealing with our Lord and the contrast of his teaching and the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's going to tell us how to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Amen. And so he's going to deal with the contrast. Today, the contrast of murder. And we began that yesterday talking about the definition. We're going to continue that and talking about the doom and dealing with the attitude that's there, the attitude, and dealing with, I believe, our temper and our tongue. And so hope that you'll understand that as we go along. All right. And as we enter into the message, as it was preached live in the auditorium of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky.
Matthew chapter number 5, verses 21 through 26 will be our text. And the Bible says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said of them of old time, Thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing." There's the contrast about murder in verses 21 through 26. Thou shalt not kill. There's a contrast about morals in verse 27 through 30. And there's a contrast about marriage in verses 31 and 32. There's a contrast about mouths, the words that we say, in verses 33 through 37. There's a contrast about meekness in verses 38 down through verse number 42. And then lastly, there's a contrast about malice. And there again, tying into what we're going to look at today, that loving of the neighbor and the hatred that is there, verses 43 through verses 48. Now today I want to deal with this first one, and that is the contrast about murder. Verse number 21. "Ye have heard that it was said of them of old time," that's talking about the scribes and Pharisees, "said this, Thou shalt not kill." Of course, that's what God said. But they added this on, "And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." Now here's the idea that I've got there, and I believe our Lord's pointing out. He's saying those hypocrites, so the hypocritical teaching of the Pharisees and the scribes is the letter, "Thou shalt not kill." You can hate as long as you don't murder. But our Lord said that's not good enough. Our Lord said the holy teaching of the scripture is not to have hate in your heart, because if you hate your brother, you're already a murderer as far as God's concerned. This very first point of conflict between the hypocritical teachings of the scribes and Pharisees, our Lord takes on this subject of murder. I believe he goes right to the heart of the matter. and he quotes the commandment as it was given from Mount Sinai. But he adds to it the penalty that is proposed by these rulers as them being brought before the judgment, being brought before the judgment of men. But our Lord says that he goes to the heart of the matter, says it is a heart issue that causes the breaking of the commandment. Our Lord said, get your heart right, get the inside right, and then the outside will be all right. Amen. That's the point that he's making. Now, I do find it interesting that this very first point that our Lord starts with is with these scribes and Pharisees that say you're not supposed to kill. You know what they're going to do in just a few days? They're going to kill our Lord. They're going to murder him, and they're going to be hypocritical about it. Amen. He knew the kind of people he's dealing with. He knew what was in their heart. He exposed it, not just to bring it to light, but I believe he exposed it so that some might repent and get deliverance from their sin. Amen. Now, in dealing with this contrast about murder, I want to mention three things. I've got three main points, two sub-points under each of these. So the main points, first of all, I do it A, B, C. A is the attitude about murder. There's an attitude given in verse number 21. Our Lord says, ye have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Now, can I say to you that that statement's fine? That's right. That's a good statement. Nothing wrong with it. God did clearly say, thou shalt not kill. He said that. But for us to fully understand what's been spoken of, there's two things we need to know. First of all, we need a definition. We need to know the definition of murder. Thou shalt not kill. That word kill is Strong's number 5406. It's a Greek word that is defined, and here's the definition, to be a murderer. Thou shalt not kill means to be a murderer. It's translated in our King James Bible, kill, do murder, and slay. But this denouncing is for murder. It's not the same as capital punishment, neither is it the same as wartime activities. Our Lord's talking about murder. He's not just talking about that it's wrong to kill at all times. He's talking about it's wrong to murder. And matter of fact, to prove that, look in Matthew chapter number 19. If you'll just turn over there with us in this same book, Matthew chapter number 19, our Lord uses this very word, and it's the same Greek word that is used here in Matthew chapter 5. It's Matthew chapter 19, and verse number 17 through 19, this man came and said, good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? Our Lord's going to give him these second table of the law. He's going to give him these six commandments. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, here they are, keep the commandments. He said unto him, which Jesus said, here's the first one that he said, thou shalt do no murder. That's the same as thou shalt not kill. But it clarifies it there that he's not just talking about killing of any kind. He's not saying you can't kill animals. He's not saying not to kill a criminal. And he's not saying not to kill in war. But he's saying thou shalt not murder. Amen. And so, in order to have a proper attitude about this commandment or this contrast, we've got to define what he's talking about. Secondly, not only do we need to know the definition, we need to know the doom for it. Back in our text in Matthew 5:21, he says in the latter part of that, whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Those who murder come under the judgment of the law. They are pronounced guilty by the law of God. Amen. It's wrong to kill people whether you believe that growing up or not. It's still wrong to kill people. That's the judgment. If a man kills a man, he's to die. And any society that refuses to do that for whatever reason, if they're too soft to do it, or if they're just too lazy to do it, and they don't do it, that society will not last long, and we're seeing our society crumble. They say our prisons are full because, for example, they're saying we need to legalize marijuana because our prisons are getting too full with people with these lesser crimes. No, the prisons are too full because they're not killing the criminals that they found guilty of capital crimes. God declared that murder is to be
a death penalty. Now, not only is there an attitude here given by our Lord about murder, he said, it's right, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder. But he adjusts that statement. There's a doom for it as well. But he adjusts that statement. Verse number 22, look what he said. This is the adjustment about murder. He says, but I say unto you, now that you heard that in the past, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Amen. See, our Lord did not criticize the religious leaders for upholding that statement against murder. But he enlarged upon that statement to include the things that cause men to murder, the things that prompt men to murder. It seems that these religious leaders were, at least of that day, were trying to limit the scope of the Word of God, and they were being very meticulous, looking to the letter of the law to try to find loopholes, almost like lawyers do today. And they were trying to find and say, this is just so limited that only murder is wrong. And by the way, they delighted in certain specifics. I mean, the specific precepts, they were glad for those. But they never saw the all-encompassing effect of the law. The law was to work on the heart of men, and the Word of God is still to work on the heart of men. It's not just to limit what He can do, but it's to change what He is so He can be made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. You see, the law dealt not just with the actions of the hand, but I believe the law of our Lord deals with the attitude of the heart. Right. And He's dealing with that. Two things He deals with about this murder. There's murder in temper, and there's murder in the tongue. Angry is the idea that I got for the temper. Look at it again. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. You know that murder comes from anger. Amen. Unchecked, unbridled anger is a very dangerous and murderous thing. Christ can subdue that angry spirit. Amen. We're living in a world filled with anger today. People are full of hatred. You see so many things that's happening in our world today. I'm convinced. I believe that's one of the reasons they mark their bodies with tattoos. I believe that's one of the reasons why they pierce themselves and look so strange, is because there's so much anger and hatred in them. Amen. The Sodomite society, they talk about love, and even free love is full of hatred and anger and bitterness in there. And our Lord is the only thing, I believe, that can subdue that angry spirit. Amen. This verse speaks about a man that's angry with his brother. Now that does not just mean his flesh and blood brother. He's talking about Jewish. He's talking to the Jews, and that's the idea that they're dealing with your Jewish brethren, your nationality, your nation. And so he's speaking about this Jewish brother. And then by extension, I believe he's talking about Christian brother. Isn't it something that the devil wants Christian brethren to not get along and do his best to make Christian brethren angry with each other? If not angry, at least upset and offended. That's the idea of the devil. That's the plan of the devil. Amen. And I believe it also extends even beyond that. I believe he's talking about our brethren of the whole human race. James goes on to talk about how in the world do we bless God in one hand and curse men. And he says, who are made in the similitude of God. He's not just talking about Christians. He's talking about created people. He says, how in the world are we doing that? We're living in a day, and I've grown up in an age when it's common to speak evil of other people. It didn't used to be that way. Right. Many of us can remember, I can remember my grandmother, my mama's mama, even my dad's mama, to be honest with you, I don't remember them ever saying anything bad about somebody. If it's something that they knew was wrong, they'd say, I'm just not going to say anything about that. They just say, mama's mama used to say, if you can't say something good, don't say anything at all. They had a a law in their mind. They had a tradition. Maybe that's what it was that's passed down, that you don't speak evil of people. Well, that's a biblical thing that our Lord said, don't let anger get in your heart. If you'll deal with the anger, then you won't have an issue that'll be murder down the road. Amen. So that murder in our temper and then murder in the tongue. He goes on to talk about saying in the next two phrases of the same verse. He says, and whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. Now, this phrase Raca means worthless, vain person is what it means. You ever heard somebody say, well, that person's just, they're just trash. They're worthless. And by the way, some people are. As far as their actions, but they're not worthless because there's worth Christ going to the cross. There's worth God sending His only begotten Son. So it's not right to say that they're totally worthless. And our Lord said they'd be in danger of the council. I believe He's talking about of men being brought before men. But in saying this, that they're worthless, I believe He is denouncing that contemptuous speech, that scornful speech, that abusive language. And again, boy, that is rampant in our world today. They'll use abusive language right and left in our world today. Speaking hateful to one another and hateful to other people. Amen. And I believe our Lord's saying that's not right to use that contemptuous and scornful and abusive language. He's definitely, I believe, including slanderous talk or scandalous speech. Amen. By the way, that was the very speech that the Pharisees and the scribes were going to use against our Lord. Why were these scribes and Pharisees using slanderous speech? Because they hated our Lord and they were going to murder our Lord. That was their plan. Then He goes on to say, not to say thou fool. Now that prescription against saying thou fool, I don't believe is an injunction against our trying to legitimately and genuinely straighten somebody out about ignorance. I don't believe that it's saying that it's wrong necessarily because God calls men fools. But I think what He is saying there is that you just reject them because you have prejudice against them. You just reject them because you have no love for them. You just reject any opinion or any suggestion that they might have because you have contempt for their person or their position, and you just write them off and say that man's an idiot, that woman's an idiot. I'm not listening to them just because of who they are and what they are. And our Lord said, no, that's not good. You're in danger. You're in danger when you say those things. Matter of fact, in danger of hellfire. Why is that? Because if you don't love your brother, whom you have seen, how in the world can you claim to love God, whom you have not seen? And then last of all, He gives the action to prevent the murder. Not only the attitude and the adjustment, but the action. In verses 23 through 26, the greater part of this text, He gives the actions that will prevent murder. You see, dealing with anger is a way to prevent murder. We deal with it. How do we deal with it? We reconcile. There's reconciliation. Now, Paul talks about we've been reconciled to God by Christ. Therefore, we're given this ministry of reconciliation. Amen. That's what salt does. It preserves a decaying and corrupt world. We've been reconciled to God. God's left us here as salt to reconcile others and to help them get over some of that. Amen. That's one reason I think it is very important that when we're out in the world, they may be talking bad to people, but we ought to be kind to them. We ought to show Christian love. We ought to show some courtesy. We ought to show some humanity, not treat people like animals in the world. Amen. But our Lord advocates dealing with the heart. Our Lord advocates dealing with our own spirit and in that way keeping God's commandments. He points out two things here. He points out the priority of reconciliation. Verses 23 and 24, He says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. There's a priority. Notice what He said. He said, you're in the temple. You're in the house of God. You're bringing your gift. Now, maybe that's talking about you going to church on Sunday, you're getting ready to offer your tithe. And in that moment, you remember. What is it that causes you to remember that? I believe it's the Holy Ghost. And thank God for the Holy Ghost at the house of God that reminds us of our sin. Thank God for the Holy Ghost at the house of God that brings attention and shines the light and convinces and convicts us of our sin. Amen. But he said, when that's done, quit thinking about giving your gift and go get right about that thing. Then you can come back and offer your gift. So here's what he's saying, and this is powerful. Our Lord's saying reconciliation, getting right about your sin, is more important than worship.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. So we'll have to break in right there. And it is sort of a strange point that I was making at the conclusion of that message of today's broadcast. Actually, it doesn't conclude the message. We'll continue that on Monday, Lord willing. But that last point that I'm on in this broadcast, dealing with how that being right with God, I said it's more important than worship. My point there is that you can't worship God right if your heart's not right with God and with your fellow man. Our Lord was dealing with that in these very scriptures. As that concludes another week of radio broadcasting, we do hope you have a great weekend. I hope you'll be in the house of God on the Lord's Day. And I'd love to take this opportunity to invite you to come and be with us here at the Island Ford Baptist Church, located at 1415 Island Ford Road here in Madisonville, Kentucky. Our Sunday morning service, Sunday school starts up at 10:15 a.m., and then the preaching time at 11:05 a.m. as well. Sunday evening service is at 6:30 p.m. Love to have you come and be part of those with us. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.